We're in Jeremiah chapter number 7. Jeremiah chapter number 7. I'm going to pray one more time, and then I'll give a bit of an illustration, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service thus far. Thank you for those that have given during this service or even prior to this service. To your glory, we thank you for that, for the needs of the general and the missions. Lord, we pray that you would supply that. So exciting, Lord, to be a part of Anchor Baptist Church as we, Lord, we need you. We need you. And it's exciting to see you work in spite of us. Please, Lord, today, I ask that you would help me to be able to not think about what is on the schedule this week or what is on was on the schedule last week, but Lord, what's in this text and what you've laid on my heart to give today. Lord, I come really humbly asking you to do that, that you would move me out of the way, that you would be seen high, holy, and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of you have gone to the store and within the last 8 weeks, you will definitely relate to what I'm about to say. Now, if you have not gone to the store in the last 8 weeks, I wish I could actually, well, I can't even shake your hand, can I? That was funny. I wish I could wave to you and say, wow, that's amazing that you haven't had to go to the store in the last 8 weeks. But within the last few weeks, actually, this has become more of a part of a shopping experience. And that is, now I don't know about you, but when, I don't know, maybe in the store I don't do this. Sometimes I do this when I'm taking a walk because I found money before. But definitely in the store, I don't look down very much because, you know, people are there, especially right now, you don't. But if you look down now when you're in the store, you know what's all over the floor, don't you? Arrows, okay? Now, I'm going to just not go into that whole thing totally because I don't want you to lose you. Because, but it, to me, it helped when I began, when I ran across this text in recent days and reading and so forth. It was a great reminder, and it's something that we're doing right now. That most stores, you can only go one direction down an aisle. So there's an arrow pointing you in the way to go. There's an arrow pointing you to go over this way, through the meat and out and around. I mean, it's very intricate. I the hours that must have taken to do that. But anyway, they're telling us which direction to go. And it's a good thing, okay? I might be poking at it a little bit, or maybe even a lot, but it's a good thing. But the title of the message today is, which direction are you going? Which direction are you going? So the stores are telling us what direction to go. And I want to submit to you that, and I don't mean to relate the stores to the devil, but we have an enemy that is also telling us which way to go. We have an enemy who is saying, I have a way for you to go. I want you to follow me. I'll point you in the direction that you need to go. Praise the Lord, though. We have a Father in heaven as a Christian who has a direction that we need to go. And if we follow him, boy, there's going to be great blessing. Here, our text verse this morning, this afternoon, is verse number 24. At the end of the verse says, and went backward and not forward. They went backward and not forward. This lengthy quote about Jeremiah. A heartbroken prophet with a heartbreaking message. Jeremiah labors for more than 40 years. Think about this. Preaching, thus saith the Lord, for four decades. Over 40 years. A message of doom to a stiff-necked people of the land of Judah. He was despised and persecuted by his countrymen. Jeremiah battles his harsh prophecies with tears of compassion. We know him to be called what? The weeping prophet. You might say that Jeremiah was weeping over a hard challenging message that was given to him directly from God. His broken heart causes him to write a broken book. This, where we are right now in Judah's history, was the final hour. God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet to warn them of something that was coming, and now Jeremiah's message is about what is going to come. It's not a matter of it's not going to come. It is going to come, and here's how you need to respond to it when it comes. We're going to talk about that here in a bit. Babylon was going to be the tool that God would use to conquer Judah and bring them into captivity. It wasn't the only time, but this was the land that he would use this time. Why was the judgment of God going to fall on the land of Judah? It's simply one word, and that is the word sin. Really, the message of Jeremiah can be summed up into this statement: repent and surrender to God's judgment. Now think about that. I mean, repent, but surrender to the judgment of God. In other words, you can't stop the judgment of God. You've gone too far. The judgment of God is coming. Now, let's remember this. Praise God, we have a God of great mercy. A God of great mercy. And yet, God will fulfill His promises. Those can be for our benefit, and those can be for our punishment as well. And by the way, not all punishment is bad. I'm thankful today that my parents punished me. When I disobeyed them, when I was a young boy, and even into my teenage years, there was a consequence that came with a decision that was made, and I'm glad they did that, and I'm glad that they taught me some things about the things of God and His Word, and I didn't like it at the time, all of the time. I didn't like the judgment of my parents all the time, but oh, do I thank God today for that judgment. J. Vernon McGee gives us the following quote: God chose this man who had a mother's heart. That tells you something. A trembling voice and tear-filled eyes to deliver a harsh message of judgment. Now, just think about all of that. Take all that in. The heart of a mother, a trembling voice, a tear in the eye, with a harsh message right from God Himself. You see that in verse 1. Would you look at verse 1 of our text? I don't have it. We won't have it on the screen for you, but you can turn back and look at it. Notice, the word that came to Jeremiah from the who? Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah. The word that came from the Lord. This was not a message that Jeremiah sat down with a pen and took a piece of paper and thought, let's see, what would be a good thing for me to say this week to Judah? Oh, I got it. Judgment is coming. You can't stop it. Now just get over it. That's not what Jeremiah did. And by the way, those of us that have a great, have a humbling, but an opportunity to deliver the Word of God, whether it's to 5 Sunday school students or 5,000 people. I don't know what that's like. Don't have to know what that's like. I like the 5 Sunday school students myself. And it doesn't matter. Do you know what? When we have the responsibility at any point in time of delivering a message, we need to make sure that we're delivering a message, thus saith the Lord. And it might not be a very easy message to swallow for the hearer, but when it's thus saith the Lord, we just rear back with the love and grace of God and we give the message. If success were measured by how many followers you have, the prophet Jeremiah would be written off as a complete failure. Remember, 40 years of preaching the message. Thankfully, God does not measure success as the world does. It is not determined by a successful business or a successful career. Nothing wrong with those. I'm just saying that God looks at success in a completely different way than the world does. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You can be successful as you apply and read the Word of God. Let's just look at several entities, people who rejected Jeremiah. Now, we're not going to look up the verses. They're going to come up for you there if you want to jot them down. Number one, Jeremiah was rejected by his family. His family. Some of you that are listening today can relate to that very statement. In fact, some of you that are listening today, if your family, I'll say this very carefully, but if your family even knew that you're a Christian, maybe there hasn't been a way for you to tell them that you're a Christian yet, or maybe you have told them that you're a Christian, and simply because you have identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been rejected. I don't know what that's like. I'm just saying this is what the prophet Jeremiah endured. His family rejected him. His family rejected him. Now, not all of our families will reject us in different ways, but possibly even for the fact that you go to church and you read your Bible and you're trying to honor the Lord in what you do, your family thinks that you banged your head when you fell out of the tree one too many times, and they think you're crazy, and all of this. Jeremiah was rejected by his family. Number two, Jeremiah was rejected by his neighbors. You see the text there. Rejection was a common theme, in the life of Jeremiah, and yet he stood for what God wanted him to do. Now, this next one isn't a bad reason to be rejected. He was rejected by false priests and prophets. And by the way, that's something you want to be rejected by, and that's someone I want to be rejected by. I don't want to be welcomed in by someone who preaches and teaches against the Word of God. But you know what? Let's be honest with you. You and I are creatures who desire people to like us. We want to be received, don't we? We want to be loved. We want to be liked. We don't want to just live our life in such a way that we upset everybody and everybody rejects us. But many times, truth divides. Jeremiah found that to be the case. His family, his neighbors, false priests and prophets. Next, his audience. His audience. You know what? Let's take a moment and go back to this one, okay? Look at Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26, verse 8. I'll read it for you, if I can get it. There we go. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, look what they said. We're going to kill you. Good night. Thou shalt surely die. Now, I haven't had in my 19 years of being a pastor, almost preaching now for, I don't know, over 20 years for sure. I haven't had everybody really like everything that I've said, and I'm that's fine, I guess. But I've never had anybody say to me when I got done preaching, hey, we're going to kill you. You talk about rejection. His audience rejected. It wasn't just rejection. It was, we don't like what you're saying so much, we want you dead. His audience. And then lastly, the kings, Jeremiah 36 and verse 23. Rejection, family, neighbors, false priests and prophets, audience, and kings. In spite of this, Jeremiah faithfully proclaimed the message God gave him to deliver. A lot of introduction today, but stay with me. You've got to understand who's preaching and the situation in which he's preaching in. Jeremiah would weep over the fate of his nation. Jeremiah was obedient and faithful. Jeremiah had a broken heart. Our text verse explains to us in verse 24, let's look at it again as we go back to Jeremiah 7, that the people did not incline their ear. They walked in the counsels and imagination of their own evil heart. They hearkened not. And because of this, they went backward and not forward. I hope you noticed in a couple of our songs today that we sang emphasizing moving forward. I don't know in any way, shape, or form, when we think of the Christian life, When we think of backward or backsliding, there isn't anything about those terms that is honoring to God. But when we say, I'm moving forward, I'm pressing toward the mark, I'm headed in the right direction, I'm trying to glorify the Lord, you know what we're saying? We're saying, I don't want to stay where I'm at. I don't want to move backward. I want to move forward. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 15. The Bible says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. This is the fate. This is the story of these people. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. The Bible says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Another couple of verses in the book of Judges, add these to it. You remember reading these, that the Bible talked about the condition of the people. There was no king in the land and no one to be in authority. And the Bible says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 17:6 and 21:25. That's who Jeremiah was preaching to. And these people from Judah did not have an excuse, because prophets had already come. They had rejected the word of the Lord. Jeremiah courageously preached an unpopular but truthful message. In fact, their rebellion is well documented. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 21, the Bible says, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They rebelled against me. Again, when we think about rebellion, and that's a sin of witchcraft, the Bible says, when you think of rebellion, do you think of somebody moving forward for God? No. You think of somebody that's going backward and not forward. When you think of someone who's stiffening their neck, and we'll talk about that later, it's not someone who's moving forward. That's someone that's moving backward. Jeremiah 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. And by the way, let us not be led by imagination. Let us be led by the Spirit of God. Let us be led by the truth of the Word of God. If you're listening this afternoon and you're wondering, how can I know Jesus Christ? How can I be assured of heaven? It's not about imagination. It's not about wondering. It's not about hoping. No, you can know that you know that you know that you're saved, because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He did obey His Father. He did fulfill the Father's plan. He didn't reject the cup of His Father's wrath. He took the cup of His Father's wrath on Him. And by His stripes, you can be healed this afternoon. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I would say, even right now, before we go any further, if you need to be saved, today can be the day of your salvation. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day so that you could be redeemed. That, my friends, is not a popular message. For today, we have so many who are saying, I'll just figure it out my way. You see, that's exactly the kind of people that Jeremiah was preaching to. I'll just figure it out my own way. Oh no, we need to go back to the things of the Lord. Now, I'm preaching mainly to Christians today, but I hope that we'll be able to apply it to our life, everyone. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter number 7. Chapter number 7. Notice, this is not the outline yet, we're getting there. But look at verse 22 and 23. We notice they were given specific instructions. Okay? And look at verse 22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices, but this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. We can see this as well. Notice these three words, obey my voice. They're also found in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 4, and Jeremiah chapter 11 and verse 7. We're just about to the outline. There's a connection, though. Here's the connection. The connection is between going backward and not obeying God's voice. If we don't obey God's voice, we will go backward. Let me just say this. This is not just for Judah. This is for Ben Turner in 2020. This is not just for the nation of Judah and nation of Israel. This is for the Anchor Baptist Church in 2020. We don't want to go backward. We want to go forward. And by the way, I've said this several times. We need to be on guard right now. We need to be on special guard right now, because the devil would like nothing more than to cause you and to cause me in this time of church, how we're having it, to go backward and not forward. But I submit to you, it's time that we go forward. It's time that we continue to move forward. The question today is, what direction are you going? What direction are you walking? By the way, you cannot use circumstances as a reason for walking backward. The trial that you're in is no excuse for you to go backward. The loss of job is no excuse for me or for you to go backward. The health difficulty, that's not an excuse. Whatever you can name and I can name, and we can come up with all of them, that's no reason to go backward and not go forward. So, how do we move forward? How do we move forward? Well, I'd like to show you some things from these verses of how we can move forward and how we can keep moving forward even right now in 2020. Number one, it's three words. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, obey, obey, obey. O-B-E-Y, obey always. There's a little song like that, I think. Maybe you know the tune. I can't even remember what it is. Obey, obey, obey. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 of our text. We didn't read these verses, but chapter 7. Flip back there, sorry. Verse 3 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." Again, this is the message that Jeremiah is to give to the people. Notice he says, "Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." We're making emphasis on those three words, amend your ways, amend your ways. What does this mean? It means to make well. It means to be good. I mean, how can it get an even lower on the shelf than that? You know what? I like it when it's on the shelf that I can reach. I don't like it when it's way up high, somewhere where I can reach. I don't even like it down on the bottom shelf anymore, because it hurts my back to bend down and get it from the bottom shelf. Put it on the middle shelf where I can get to it a lot easier. Here's the middle shelf. God says, Jeremiah, tell them to obey, obey, obey. Obedience is a choice. What are you going to choose? If you're going to obey, you will choose to obey. If you're going to disobey, then that's a choice that you're going to make. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. It is my responsibility as a child of God to amend my ways. There might be some amending that you need to do in your life right now. Let me encourage you. Before the day is out, amend your ways. Obey, obey, obey. Obedience is a decision. Obedience is a decision. What are you going to decide? Oh, I hope today we'll decide to be obedient followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope today that we'll decide to be obedient. Hey, God saved me to live for Him and to bring Him honor and glory. He didn't save me to live in my old ways, in my old thoughts, in my old words, in my old actions. No, God saved me so that with His help, my ways would begin to be amended. Obey, obey, obey. It is still the very best way to show that we believe. An indicator of true salvation is when someone begins to stop doing certain things and start doing other things. Let me say that again. An indicator of true biblical salvation is when someone begins to stop doing certain things and begin to do other things. Now again, growth, we've been talking about it in Sunday school, so we won't re-preach Sunday school. It's called sanctification. We all get sanctified at a different level. It is a process. It's an ongoing thing that happens. But clearly, it's no question in my mind that when we get saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, He begins to say, all right, you've got to amend this. You've got to change this. We've got to stop talking like this. We've got to stop thinking like this. We've got to stop acting like this. Obey, obey, obey. Guarantee, if we will be men and women, young people, teenagers, senior saints of God, middle-aged saints of God, and so forth and so on, that we would be willing to obey, it's going to help us to go a long way to moving forward. The minute we stop obeying God, in the smallest of things, get ready, you're going the wrong direction. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 11, please. If you take your Bibles and turn back there with me quickly. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. How do we keep moving forward? Obey, obey, obey. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 27. The Bible says there, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Notice verse 27, a blessing. Who doesn't want God's blessing? I don't know anybody that doesn't want God's blessing. And you know when God's blessing comes? As we're moving forward. Amend your ways. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I tell you what, there's a lot of things that God has taught me in my Christian life that I know that are good, and sometimes I don't do them. There's a lot of things that I've learned because God has taught me them through His Word and through men of God and women of God that are wrong, and sometimes I do them. It's like what the Apostle Paul said, right? The things that I do, things that I should do, I don't do. The things that I shouldn't do, I end up doing them. No, I didn't say what you thought I was going to say. I end up doing them. Hey, you know what? That's exactly the problem Ben Turner has. I'm no Apostle Paul. You're probably not the Apostle Paul either, but it doesn't matter. We all have that same struggle. But here's the thing. It's a choice. You make a choice. When we come to that crossroads, am I going to obey God? You know what? It could come. It's every area of our life. Every area of our life. I'll just leave it at that. Obey, obey, obey. Number two, let's go back to our text. Jeremiah chapter 7. How do we keep moving forward? Number two, follow truth. Follow truth. Look at chapter 7, verse number 4. The Bible says, trust ye not in, what's the next two words? Lying words. Liar, liar, you fill in the blank. Trust ye not in lying words. You know what? Tell the truth. That's not really the point. I'm just adding that to it, okay? Saying, the temple of the Lord, okay, yeah. Temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Look at verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words. And what do lying words profit? Nothing. That cannot profit. Their heart was not right. Jeremiah challenges them. You got to stop listening to lies. You've got to stop following lies. You've got to stop lying. You've got to start telling the truth. You see, what was actually happening is this. They were coming to the temple. They were coming to the temple, and they were filled with hypocrisy. Now, I know no one would ever go to church and be filled with hypocritical. Now, would we? What was happening? Here's what was happening. They were trusting more in the rituals than they were in the truth. Flip over to chapter 9. This is part of the same sermon. This sermon is actually 7, 8, 9, and 10. If you want some really a punch this week, read all four chapters, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And you know where he's preaching from? He's preaching, I think I missed this earlier, he's preaching from the gate of the temple. And so he's basically standing right there at the church. We didn't have the church, but you know what I'm saying, okay? Right there where they would come to worship, and he's giving them the Sabbath sermon four chapters long. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 3. The Bible says, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for truth. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we need a valiancy. We need to be valiant, to stand for truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Look at verse 5. And they will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. These are people that have been coming to church. These are people that have been listening to at the temple. These have been religious people. These have been people that have been dotting their I and crossing their T in the name of religion. These have been people that have been warned, and yet the Bible says, Jeremiah said, God was saying to Jeremiah, they won't speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. Again, I submit to you, you choose to tell a lie, or you choose to tell the truth. If we're going to press forward, if we're going to move forward and go the right direction, we must obey, obey, obey. We must follow the truth. Verse 5, continue on. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. I just can't help it. This is just who I am. No, you've taught yourself to live like that. I've taught myself to live like that. That's no excuse as a Christian who has the Word of God in right here, who has the Spirit of God in here. We can move forward because follow truth will always lead. When we follow truth, it will always lead us forward. You know what? When we follow deceit, it leads to more deceit. And we go backward and not forward. We need to return to truth. We need to return to truth in our personal lives. We need to return to truth in our homes. We need to return and stay with the truth in the local Bible preaching church. We at Anchor Baptist Church need to make sure that we're praying for one another, that we're praying for the pastoral staff, that we're praying for the leaders, that we're praying that we will always follow truth. It's easy to follow truth when there's no pressure. I wonder what it'll be like when the pressure grows. Will we follow truth? I hope we will. I trust that we will. We're laying the foundation by obey, obey, obey. By moving forward, we're following truth. Truth will lead you to the Lord always. Deceit will lead you to the enemy. He is the father of all lies. Moving forward, how are we going to move forward? Obey, obey, obey. Number two, how are we going to move forward? Got to follow truth. This is very challenging, this next one. If you haven't been challenged yet, I hope the Lord will challenge you here if you need it. Number three, look at verse 9. Wait just a moment on this. I'll read verse 9 and 10 and then we'll show it to you. Listen carefully. Let God's word penetrate your heart. And I think if you read this carefully, you don't even need me to talk about it. I will, but I don't think you'll need it. Look at verse 9. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely? Quite a list, eh? Burn incense unto Baal? Oh, that's where I checked out, Pastor. Not necessarily. You may not have Baal, but you may have another idol. And you may be burning incense to it all the time. And I may be doing the same. We're all in this. And walk after other gods whom ye know not. Okay, so he says, you do all of this. Look at verse 10. And come and stand before me in this house. What house? God's house. He says, you go out there and you live in sin 6 days a week. You're involved in this and this and this and this. And he names it. Boy, I tell you, again, Jeremiah, not a popular guy. By the way, popularity is not what a preacher should be ascribing for. A preacher should be striving to please God. A preacher should be striving to give the message as God says, give the message. And I'm just saying, when I read this once again, several times, over and over again, boy, it challenged me every time that you come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. Anchor Baptist Church, we are not, this church is not yours. It is not the members. It is not the pastors. This church carries the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Holy, high, lifted up. That's what we want Jesus to be, the Lord Jesus to be at Anchor Baptist Church. That's what we want the Lord Jesus to be in our daily life. And the prophet Jeremiah says, you go out and live like this for 6 days of the week, and then you come into this house that is under my name, and notice what he says, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Did you just catch that? I mean, you talk about stupidity. You t- talk about putting it in the face of God, we've been delivered to live like this. That's exactly what that says. We've been delivered from Egypt to live like this. We could say today, we've been saved. So here's what he's saying. When we live like this in 2020 and we are involved in all of this sin, adultery, remember you look after a woman, lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Remember that verse? Stealing, remember that? You know how bad it is, thou shalt not steal? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I've not taken anything. Yeah, you know what? God's given you 168 hours in a week. Don't rob God of God's time. God wants some time. God wants some of your life. God wants you. They first gave themselves in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you haven't given your life to God, then you're stealing from God. If I haven't given my life to God, I'm stealing from God. If I'm not giving some of my time for God, I'm stealing from God. If I'm not giving God of my offering, my tithes and offerings, I'm robbing God. Malachi the prophet even says that. All I'm saying is, Jeremiah says, you swear falsely, you murder. Again, murder. How many of you have ever murdered somebody? Probably not too many of us. But you can have anger and malice in your heart towards someone and a bad spirit towards someone. And it can even creep its way into the independent local Baptist church. And we won't even speak to somebody on the other side. And yet we come in. Number three, I haven't even given it to you yet. Number three is this, repentance before worship. If we're going to move forward, don't go worshiping God if you're carrying all this with you. Because it's like to God. You mean you're going to come into my house? I'm saying God, okay? You see that? You stand before me in this house and call by my name, and you have the audacity to say that I'm delivered to live like this. Wow. What it must do to a holy God when I go into his house and I have things in my life that should not be there, and you go into his house and you say, we're not in his house. Yes, you're in his house today. We're gathered together. Two or three are gathered together. You're standing before the Lord today. We have the Bible out. I'm just saying, if we're going to move forward, we can't just move forward strictly in worship. I firmly believe God is doing something in 2020 through all that's happening right now to bring his children to repentance. To bring his children to say, I am a sinner. I am away from God. I need to get moving forward and not backward. How many of us were in a stupor, spiritually speaking, when this thing happened? And all of a sudden, 1 week, 2 weeks, not a big deal. We're now 2 months into this thing. And I don't know when it's fully going to end. I don't really want to talk about it or think about it. I just want to live for God one day at a time. But here's the deal. God has even taken our worship, public worship, from us. Say, what do you mean? Yes, God allowed this. Why? Because maybe God wants his church to get moving forward, and the only way we're going to move forward is if we repent of the sin that we've been carrying around in our life. This is the message of Jeremiah. It was a message that wasn't, oh boy, way to go, Jeremiah. There were no amens. I'm preaching to me right now. There were no hallelujahs. There were no praise the Lord's. There was, we'd like to see you dead. Because they stiffened their neck. Looked at that earlier. We'll read it more. Obey, obey, obey. Repentance, follow truth. Repentance before worship. Look at verse 30. I want to stay with my outline a little bit here. Don't want to miss some of these other verses that God challenged me with. Look at verse 30. For the children of Israel have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations where? In the house which is called by my name. I don't think you could do it for the space in your Bible. It might not look properly, but you could actually take verse 30 and you could somehow attach it to verse 10. Look at verse So they brought idols into the house of the Lord. You think that's bad? How about verse 31? And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Wow. Not not talking about the pagans. We're talking about Judah. They brought idols into the house of the Lord. They sacrificed their sons and daughters. I submit to you, or I ask you, as we move on here in just a moment, what idols am I bringing with me into my relationship on a daily basis with the Lord? You cannot serve God and mammon, as we said earlier. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. I wonder today, Pastor Turner, I'm not sacrificing my children. Are you? Are you? Are you not? I don't know. Could we also be sacrificing our sons and our daughters? Oh, maybe not in this way, but in the same, in a different way in 2020. You're going to have to apply that as the Holy Spirit of God convicts you. The church is not responsible to train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the father's responsibility, number one. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, we need fathers who will repent before worship. You see, because when our children see our worship mixed with our sin, again, no father's perfect, kids, okay? I'd be the first one to raise both of my hands. I'm a father today. I'm thankful to be a dad. Thankful to be a grandfather today. But you're looking at an imperfect father, an imperfect son, an imperfect grandfather. I have no perfection in me at all except the Lord Jesus Christ in me. That's the only thing I am. But I know this. My actions speak a lot louder than my words. You know that to be true. Well, let's not sacrifice our children today. Repentance before worship. If we're going to move forward, we must obey, obey, obey. You must follow truth. You must repent before worship. Number four, look at verse 13. The Bible says, "And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not." Isn't that amazing? God continued to call and call and call and call. Number four, if we're going to continue to keep moving forward, we must listen for the Lord. Listen. You know what? There's a lot of noise in your life and mine today. Most of the noise that's in your life and mine isn't saying, "Get closer to the Lord. Get closer to the Lord." Most of the noise in your life and mine is, "Push away, move away, go back. You don't need to." And it's just, it's a drowning noise that can't even hear the Lord's leading in our life. The people of Judah, they had so much history to learn from. Think of all that had been passed down to them. All the stories of God's miraculous hand over and over and over again. I look at my life and I'm thankful for the heritage that I have. And maybe you have a heritage that goes back one generation, or maybe you're the beginning of the heritage. Be glad for that, by the way. I've said that to so many people. Be thankful if you're the first person in your family to get saved. Rejoice in that and be exceeding glad that you are saved and on your way to heaven. And you have the opportunity to move forward and lead your family. Lead those who are in somehow under your influence to do that too. James 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Swift to hear. I'll be the first one to say, I depend on God's leading. How am I going to know God's leading if I'm not listening? How am I going to know God's leading if I'm allowing so much noise to come into my life? I need God's leading. I need God's wisdom. This is a must in order to go forward. Without the leading of the Lord Jesus, if I just try on my own, I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen. I'm going to end up going backward without the leading of the Lord, because that's what the flesh wants to do. Take it easy. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Obey, obey, obey. Follow truth. Repent before worship. Listen for the Lord. And number five and lastly, in order to keep moving forward, you must have a humble heart. a humble heart. Notice verse 26. The Bible says, yet they hearken not unto me. What would cause them not to listen to the Lord? What would cause them not to listen to the prophet? Nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. Hardened their neck. Ooh, my shoulders are a little bit tight right now, but not too bad. I mean, think of it. If you've had a stiff neck, this is beyond a stiff neck physically. And notice, they did worse than their fathers. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 23. Just hold your place and listen. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Jeremiah 19, 15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Keep in mind, this is Jeremiah. This whole book, oh my. Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. The way I look at this verse, chapter 7, verse 26, and these other verses, when somebody is hardening their neck, it's because of pride. Because of pride. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look. Folks, there's no question in my mind that one of the most damaging reasons, or one of the most evident reasons why Christians go backward is because of pride. He can't tell me what to do. They can't tell me what to do. They can't tell me how to live. Who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? And I don't know who he is or she is. I'm just using pronouns, okay? That's the point, though. It doesn't matter who he is or who she is. Someone that stiffens their neck to the authority that God has placed on their life, you can pretty much get it out and mark it down. They are not going to move forward. They are going to go back. They might stay in one spot for a little while, but they're not going to advance. They're going to decline. Why? Because they are full of themselves. They're full of pride. Judah was full of Judah. And they stiffened their neck every time. God in his mercy. Boy, God was merciful, wasn't he? I mean, look at how many years they had prophets come to them before he judged them. It was hundreds and hundreds of years. And now the judgment of God is coming because of a stiff neck. They have gone backward and not forward. Verse 24, they have gone backward and not forward. And one of the reasons, lastly, is because, or that will help us to afford, that they had pride. The pride of life caused them to harden their neck. A hardened neck is an indicator of a hardened heart. Do you want to move forward? I sure do. Do you want to stop where you're... Now, here's the thing. Maybe you recognize I'm going backwards today, Pastor Turner. And I'm looking at point number three right now, Pastor Turner. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it was worded in the Bible. But I'm going to be a man and I'm going to be a woman about it. I'm going to be a teenager about it who stands up and says, yep, you know what? That's me. I got some repenting to do. There's no way you're going to just pick up and move forward and start worshiping the Lord properly unless you repent of the sin in your life. Unless we repent of the sin in our life. Again, this is Jeremiah going, and hey, Jeremiah would go through it as well. Jeremiah would be lowered down into a well of slime and gunk. Someone who did what was right. Someone who preached truth. Someone who did move forward. Again, moving forward isn't an indicator of that nothing bad is going to happen to us, because sometimes as we stand for the Lord, we get rejected. Remember how we started the whole message? Rejection, 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 rejection. But Jeremiah stayed faithful. No one in Judah had any excuse to lean on. God's mercy had been shown to them over and over again. What about you this afternoon? God is merciful, isn't he? God is merciful to me. Maybe you're listening right now, and we're gonna bring this to an invitation. Maybe you're listening right now, and you say, Pastor Turner, I'm not even a Christian. Oh, Pastor Turner, I'm concerned if I died right now, if whether I'd be in heaven or not. By the way, if you're not a Christian, I hope you are concerned about what's going to happen when you die. I hope that all of these virus deaths have caused you to think about death. What if you died right now? It doesn't matter the cause, but what if you died right now? Where would you be? By the way, if you do, when you die, it will be too late to decide with decide about Jesus Christ and who He is, and are you going to make Him accept Him to be your Savior and follow Him? And following Him doesn't save you, but accepting His gift of salvation, it'll be too late. What about it? Every day I get a notification. I should have shut the thing off a long time ago. I get a notification from this one news place. So many new cases. So many deaths. I'm not making fun at all. Please, I'm not. But I'm saying it's very sobering. Because I don't, almost every day, as far as I know, so many new cases. So many deaths. Whether it's one or 1,000 or 1 million, every person that's died in the last 9 weeks will stand before God someday, whether they died of corona or died of cancer or died of natural causes, whatever. They're going to stand before God someday. Some of those people that have died in the last 9 weeks are rejoicing. Oh, I can just think about it. Numerous people, and I can't even think of a specific name right now. I'm glad because I would miss somebody. Numerous people that I know remotely and then some closer up have passed away in these recent days, and they've been reunited with family. They've been able to see Jesus for the very first time. You know what? They're glad that when they died, they moved upward to heaven. But let's just be real. There's a good chance that the highest percentage of all the people that have died in the last 9 weeks did not move upward. They went down. They went down not only into a grave, but they went down into eternal judgment of God, into hell for right now, and eventually the lake of fire, with no chance of getting out. Oh, my friend, today, don't reject the mercy of God. If you are lost, humbly come to Christ today. If you're a child of the King, you're moving backward. Stop right where you are. Get it right with God. Start applying these points.